This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, a look at the social enterprises and nonprofits preparing for the local fast pitch finals. First, integrative medicine combines conventional Western medicine with complementary therapies. It aims to treat the whole person, not just the disease. And joining us to explain integrative medicine, our Executive Director of the Center for Integrative Health and Wellness at the University of Cincinnati Academic Health Center, Dr. Sean Cotton, UC College of Medicine Electrophysiology Section Director and Professor Dr. Mehran Attari, and radiation oncologist and UC College of Medicine visiting professor Dr. John Sacco. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And John, Sean, and Mehran, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark. Nice
to
be here.
Thanks for
having us.
Sean, exactly what is integrative medicine?
So in the 1980s, the term alternative medicine was the term that people used. And what became clear is that people really were not using these therapies as alternatives, but really in complement to traditional treatment. So in the 1990s, the term complementary therapy was the one being used. And now really in the 2000s, we're looking at the term integrative medicine, which, as you mentioned, is really about bringing the best of conventional therapies and treatments in combination with the best of evidence-based, for which there is support, complementary therapies, to really optimize health and well-being. And so often it focuses on healthy lifestyle and behaviors, so incorporating traditional treatments with stress reduction, biofeedback, maybe meditation, yoga, incorporating nutrition really as a part of the medicine and the treatment plan, concepts like food as medicine, and then exercise and movement as really being a central point of the treatment plan. So it's incorporating those in addition to maybe other therapies, acupuncture, massage therapy, Tai Chi, things that may in the past have been considered outside of conventional medicine are really now being incorporated nationally within conventional medical centers.
But these complementary therapies that we're talking about, these are things that have been tested, right? They were actually evidence-based, right?
Absolutely. And so Tai Chi, therapeutic yoga for chronic low back pain, there is increasing evidence for multiple of these therapies for a lot of our chronic conditions.
That's a good point, by the way, about evidence-based.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation about integrative medicine. And you were listing all these various therapies that are incorporated into integrative medicine. Mindfulness is one of those, isn't it, Mehran?
Yes, it is. And I had the opportunity to be here a few months ago about the City Silence initiative that we had at university also. And mindfulness, I think it's not only in terms of what it can do for patients, it's actually what it can do for providers also. I think it has become very important. It's being more and more recognized, the amount of fatigue and stress that physicians and healthcare providers, not only physicians, nurses, other healthcare providers have. And mindfulness is a way, one of the ways, many ways that you can employ to help physicians and how other healthcare providers to cope with the stresses of daily life and daily activities and obviously provide a better care for patients. So when Sean mentioned about integrative, it's really the core of integrative medicine is not integrative for patients. It's integrative for the whole system. It's the physician, a nurse, other providers, patient, their family, their kids even. Like it goes really, really integrates all of that into one big picture. And we are treating not just one aspect of a patient, or even the physician is kind of becomes part of the whole solution instead of being outside of it and looking from outside.
John, what kind of diseases can you use
that's a good question, Mark.
For?
Well, I'll give you my experience. When I see two main applications for integrative medicine in the oncology world. The first is patients come in and they have treatment-related side effects. They may have nausea. They may have neuropathy from chemotherapy. Acupuncture works very well for both of those. So that's one scenario. The other scenario, and I think it's a kind of a more broad-based scenario, is patients that have gone through cancer treatment, they're finished, and then they've been released. They need maybe they've been asked to come back in 3 to 6 months, and they come to me and they say, well, what do I do next? How can I reduce my risk of having my cancer come back? And what can I do for my family members? I mean, this opens up a whole other area of application. So what I do is when I see patients in an integrative oncology consultation setting, I will sit down and spend somewhere between 90 and 120 minutes with them. which is really luxurious in this day and age, and talk about dietary and lifestyle modification, talk about stress reduction, talk about how best to get people to sleep properly. These are the kind of things that, again, become the core of a program that will sustain them through the surveillance and through the survivorship period.
Sean, how much is integrative medicine catching on?
Good question. So we are actually part of an academic consortium of integrative medicine and health. Nationwide, we have about 150 medical schools. We are now 66 medical schools that belong to this consortium. And by that, I mean these are the major schools around the country. In addition to UC, we're looking at Mayo Clinic, Vanderbilt, Cleveland Clinic, UCSF. These are medical schools similar to UC that around the country are looking not only to provide this type of clinical care in an evidence-based, really robust, horizontally integrated way, but also, really importantly, training the next generation of providers. We graduate about 150 medical students every year, and until we teach them integrative approaches, they don't know how to answer these questions from patients. They actually don't know all of the options out there. So we are part of a much larger network nationally. And then the third pillar is research. So we at UC are really invested now in looking at, for example, mindfulness-based approaches to mental health, to looking at stress reduction in patients with epilepsy. So we're part of a much larger national movement, and this is an area of medicine that is only growing. It's clearly an area that John often says was really grown from the public up and has really been a call from the public to treat pain differently, treat anxiety. What else can I be doing in addition to the conventional therapies? And this is really a growing national trend that we're delighted to be part of.
Moran, what would you say are the benefits of integrative medicine?
Well, there are – actually, I want to emphasize what Sean said. When we talk about integrative medicine, it's very, very important to realize it is not something separate than what we do already. It is bringing all the arsenal, all the treatments and modalities that have been around for hundreds of years or thousands of years and incorporating them in what we have learned in the last 200 or 300 years in modern medicine. So when you talk about integrative medicine, let's say you go to a doctor for that kind of visit, you shouldn't really necessarily expect that coming out of that office, someone will tell you, well, don't stop taking your cholesterol medication if your cholesterol is sky high. But they will also look into other reasons for your cholesterol to be high, including your diet, exercise, weight, and perhaps even sometimes maybe some herbs that can help with the lowering cholesterol instead of just having to take a specific medication. So there are several things that you can add to that just one pill, but it doesn't mean that the doctor will come and tell you that, no, you don't need to take that medication. We incorporate everything. It is integrative. And because of that, you're not just bound by those, you know, boundaries of certain pills, certain interventions. You have a large array of treatments that are available, and many of them have not only evidence-based in terms of what we know now in terms of clinical trials and studies that have been done, but also they have the test of time, 2,000 years of a tradition that has been effective, and we all know. In fact, when we talk about diet, we usually tell people, like, eat what your grandmother was cooking, because that probably worked out. They have been doing okay. I mean, of course, if it is not too fatty or salty. But you know what I mean. So a lot of things have been tested over the years that that can be employed and gets us out of the the fixed views of just modern medicine with medications and certain other interventions.
And again, that's the key thing. You're talking about things that have been tested, tried, that are yeah. known to work, and they work well with modern medicine.
So there are two important things. One is that the ones that obviously a lot of these treatments in integrative medicine have been tried for many years. Chinese medicine, acupuncture, mindfulness, or meditation for that matter, like most common name for it. Tai Chi, all those things have been around for a very long time and people have employed them with good results, and they have relatively very, very few side effects to none. Now, whether they are necessarily every single one of them is cure at all, it's not probably true, and that's where the modern medicine approaches have come in over the last about probably 100-150 years and tested, you know, certain treatments, and not all of them. Obviously, we are still at the earliest stages, but a lot of them have been proven to be effective in certain diseases. As John mentioned about, cancer patients, in cardiology, believe it or not, we have a study that shows meditation can actually reduce mortality, and it was published in Circulation Journal, which is our American Heart Association journal. So that was in 2013. So now, again, one study, obviously you may want to see more of that, and there are always a little bit of flaws to any study, you can find some faults, but it was done well enough that deserved publication. So those are important things to know, that, you know, these old treatments have been proven in many cases to be effective for common diseases that we treat otherwise.
Sean, we had a question from Angela by email, and she was curious, what's covered by insurance and what is not?
Angela, thank you for that question. That's a question that many people are wondering about. And so we have a healthcare system currently, as many people know, that pays for sort of less and less time with your provider. Unfortunately, reimburses quite a lot for procedures, but not as much for example, Dr. Sack or Dr. Attari sitting and speaking to you 60 minutes about your lifestyle. And so within integrative medicine consults, specifically, one of the goals is to have extended time with your provider, whether it be your physician, your nurse practitioner, somebody else, and they can really get to the root of the problem rather than kind of a band-aid approach, which sometimes happens. And so, you know, your consults are typically covered by your insurance. Some of the things that Mehran has discussed about meditation, biofeedback, guided imagery, you know, a lot of mental behavioral health specialists, psychologists, social workers, psychiatrists, and various others are very skilled in some of the mind-body areas specifically. When we come to things like, you know, nutrition visits, sometimes they're covered for certain conditions and not for others. Acupuncture and massage, again, some are covered, some are not. That academic consortium that I mentioned to you is working at the policy level because, frankly, we need a healthcare system that endorses prevention and wellness and that will actually pay for and support the various therapies that we've talked about here today. So there is movement on the national level. What I would say to people that are listening is that oftentimes you don't know that your insurance company will actually reimburse. And so oftentimes you can get partial reimbursement. So, for example, if you go for acupuncture for some headache pain and you submit it back to your insurance company, oftentimes they will actually partially reimburse for that. So that is also something, by the way, that the center is actively working on, is at the policy level to try and get insurers to pick up more and more of these therapies.
She also wanted to know if someone can see a doctor for integrative medicine if they're healthy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. John, most definitely. In fact, that's interesting. One of the areas that we talked about just briefly before is the application of integrative therapies in patients who might have a family history of disease, but they don't have it. So there's a great application area right there. So let's say your mother or father has heart disease and they may have died early. Or let's say someone in your family had cancer. Patients come in and they say, how can I not go down that same road? We now know that through this whole field of epigenetics that you can influence the way your genes are expressed by how you live. So it even becomes more important in applying dietary lifestyle modification because it does absolutely affect the way genes express themselves. So just because you have a family history of A, B, and C doesn't mean that you have to have the same issues that your ancestors had. And I think that's really an important point.
We will continue our conversation about integrative medicine, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to explain the benefits of integrative medicine, our Executive Director of the Center for Integrative Health and Wellness at the University of Cincinnati Academic Health Center, Dr. Sean Cotton, UC College of Medicine Electrophysiology Section Director and Associate Professor, Dr. Mehran Attari, and I forgot to change it there, Mehran.
That's okay.
And Radiation Oncologist and UC College of Medicine Visiting Professor, Dr. John Sacco. You can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk with Ron in Delhi. Hi, Ron.
Thanks for taking my call. Actually, my question is about my cousin who lives in the Centerville area, and she's been going to her doctors and just really has a number of different health problems, and they just don't seem to be able to help her. And she's talked to me about alternative medicines, and I said, well, maybe I'll check around here in Cincinnati to see if there's anything like that, and all of a sudden you have this show. So could you give me any advice about helping someone, my cousin in the Centerville area?
Okay, Ron.
Of where she might go to find something like your program.
Okay, Ron.
Sure. We actually do have an integrative practitioner with the center who's practicing on the northern side of the city. And I assume I can mention her name, Sean. Is that correct?
Sure.
Dr. Lori Nandial. Nandyal, is actually, Lori's fascinating. She's trained in functional medicine, which is, I've always thought to be the academic branch of integrative medicine, so to speak. But the bottom line is Lori's great, and she's very good at getting to the root of problems. So your question about your relative is one of the most common questions that people come to see us about. They have a problem. They have multiple problems. They see multiple specialists. There's very little communication between the specialists. They're on multiple medications. They don't feel good, and they want something different because they know something just isn't right, and this is exactly where integrative medicine can help.
Is that usually the ideal candidate for integrative medicine, somebody who has multiple conditions, multiple problems?
Yes, it is. Our country's very good at treating acute diseases, acute conditions. We are not very good at treating chronic conditions. And because we really don't get – Maron mentioned the point too. We don't get to the root of the problem. We often work downstream. I like this downstream, upstream thing. We often work downstream where we actually treat a variety of different symptoms from all of the conditions they have by giving medications. That's not particularly working upstream. When you go back upstream and you begin to get to the root of the problem, lo and behold, you find one or two different causes. And as you address those causes, all the other problems begin to get better on their own, so to speak.
So is the picture I have of integrative medicine accurate? It's treating the whole person, not just
correct
specific diseases.
Yes.
513-419-7100 to join us. And Kate in Norwood. Hi, Kate.
Hello. My question would be, how do we get the physicians more on board with this? I've experienced for the past 2 years begging for relief for a pain and a shoulder injury. And I was, it was suggested I could be referred to a pain clinic, to which I said, I don't think so.
Not interested? Okay.
Not well. I don't want to do that first. I mean, there's a million other things that we could be looking at. I was finally recommended to physical therapy and given 4 sessions, which I don't believe 4 sessions is going to cure 5 years of a problem. It's very frustrating not having the medical profession understanding the value of these programs and leading you that direction. And if you're not an advocate for yourself, God knows where you might end up.
This is exactly why we're doing what we're doing at the University of Cincinnati. Kate, thank you. We 66% of our practicing physicians in the greater Cincinnati community graduate from the College of Medicine. So I often say if we want to change the way that medicine and healthcare is practiced, we need to start with our own institutional organization. And we need to have people understand the value, understand what the studies say, what an integrative approach to the treatment of pain, to the treatment of stress, to the treatment of cardiovascular disease looks like. So this is exactly why we are doing what we're doing at UC.
And I think it's been very helpful that we've had in our curriculum, we've had integrative medicine for medical students, and then we try to have on campus also, mindfulness sessions. We've had we are part of a grant, NCIPH, that provides integrative medicine training in a kind of a very broad way for medical professionals and healthcare professionals. So I think that has been helping. So even though we may not have a lot of people that are aligned, hopefully within a few years we will have more physicians that are out there that value these approaches.
How much research is being done on integrative medicine, Sean?
There's a lot of research being done. So at the national level, our National Institutes of Health funds a lot of our research, and we have a whole center, the National Center for Complementary Integrative Health, that's dedicated just to studies on different supplements, on different meditation practices, on Tai Chi, for example. But actually, the majority of this research is funded not through that group, but through the much larger groups that have a lot bigger funding. So, for example, the National Institute on Aging, the National Institute of Mental Health, they fund a lot of studies in this area. And that's really one of the reasons why the academic health centers have picked it up. You know, the community has been saying for a long time, hey, this works, and hey, what else is out there? But the studies now are so robust. And I would have people go to the NCCIH website. That's really a wonderful kind of funnel website from the national perspective about great studies. But there's an enormous amount of research, very supportive.
You think as more and more research is done, more and more doctors will come on board with the idea?
I certainly hope so.
That's true. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm
I do too. And I think there's so much overlap between all of our specialties. And I think that's where we have to kind of realize that really we're not siloed into these individual subspecialties. That I think there's tremendous overlap. And I think the application of what we're doing in one field of a subspecialty can affect conditions that are treated by a multitude of subspecialists as well.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk with Patty in Liberty Township. Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Go right ahead. You're on.
Thanks. Actually, Dr. Sacco was my radiation oncologist. Wow. I had a rare form of cancer, and I don't know what caused my cancer, I don't know how best to help my children prevent cancer in their lives.
That's a great question, Patty. Good hearing your voice, by the way. I think the best you can do, and I'm sure you're doing this, I think the best you can do is have them follow a comprehensive dietary and lifestyle plan that leads to wellness in general. Since yours was a rare tumor that may not have any obvious connection to anything, making sure that they're eating the right foods, they're getting enough exercise, they're sleeping well, their stress is handled properly, they're socially connected. These are the things that comprise a comprehensive wellness program that you can't go wrong with no matter what. So all of what I said can apply not only to reducing the risk of cancer, but that reduces the risk of obesity, reduces the risk of heart disease, reduces the risk of diabetes, across the board, you name it. Thanks for your question.
Interestingly enough, when you look at it, a lot of the things that we use in integrative medicine are actually, you can call it still the conventional medicine. I mean, we have learned more and more in the last few years that, for example, obesity has a very strong role in causing atrial fibrillation, which is a cardiac arrhythmia. And by just losing weight, you can reduce your risk of having cardiac, at least one type of cardiac arrhythmias. Now, in integrative medicine, for years we've been talking about diet. But it is the same thing that we will be talking to you if you are in a conventional, regular office visit. However, the time and the focus is different. So in an integrative visit, you will have the time to talk about it, what to eat, what is good, what is not, what is the lifestyle that leads to less weight gain. On the other hand, I can just come and tell you, like in two sentences, overweight is not good, but that's not going to really help you. Right. So I think that's also an important thing about integrative medicine, that we try to find solutions to your problem and solutions that have been tested and kind of been useful in terms of their outcomes.
Go ahead, John.
Oh, and that's a great question too, because oftentimes patients come in and, you know, it would be great if they could become a vegan tomorrow, but that's not going to happen. You have to meet them where they are on the road.
Exactly.
You know, if they're used to eating four or five meals at McDonald's per week, they're not going to turn overnight and be something entirely different. So you meet them where they are, and then you plan for incremental improvements over time. And that's really the benefit of it. And the greatest thing about this is they begin to take control back of their own health. And when they see that they have control over something that they didn't think that they had control over before, that motivates them even further.
Tracy in Liberty, Indiana joins us now. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have been diagnosed with bipolar illness for more than 30 years, and I really didn't get any traction on healing until my doctor, my integrative doctor, put me on a gluten-free diet probably 5 years ago. And it's still been some slow going, and I'm still on medication, but I am, oh my gosh, so much better. I'm barely the same person. My question is this a common thing? Have you seen this specifically in mental illness, where dietary changes have been significant in positive outcomes?
Oh, boy. Great question. We could talk for a long time on this. Very briefly, yes, indeed, there's a gut-brain connection, and if the gut is inflamed, the brain is inflamed, and you are doing exactly what you should be doing. So congratulations.
Yeah, glad to hear that you're doing better. Again, 513-419-7100 to join us, and here's Karen on the west side. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Hi.
Okay, I was just wondering, I'm on the way to the doctor as we speak.
I have Crohn's disease. I think I might have RA, rheumatoid arthritis. And I haven't started taking any Humira or any kind of biologic yet. I'm wondering if it would be more successful with a doctor who treats with integrated medicine if I don't start taking any of these medications.
It's a good question,
it's
a difficult question to answer, just not knowing all the specifics of your condition. Definitely certain medications can have side effects, and obviously once you take them, and if you want to apply the integrative approach later on, now you have to treat the side effects also. So not only you have to treat the primary disease, but now you have to, or primary problem, you have to treat the side effect of that. So my recommendation, as a blanket kind of recommendation, as much as we can give right now, is that before starting it, and obviously don't delay your treatment, but before starting it, perhaps get a kind of consult or appointment with an integrative physician, as Dr. Cotton gave the name of the Dr. Nandial in Cincinnati. So at least that can be looked at, and maybe some suggestion may help with the symptoms. A gluten-free diet generally helps a lot. Many people have not necessarily significant allergy, but even minor amount. I mean, there's degrees of that. And a gluten-free diet generally helps many people with gastrointestinal conditions. So I think I would do that first without any other thing.
Let's talk with Nicole in Mount Washington. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call and say that my daughter has a very rare syndrome that was undiagnosed for the first 9 years of her life. And it was actually the doctors at the NIH that were able to diagnose her. But it was work that they were doing 7 years ago that reminded me of the comments that your guests have talked about, how he after a consultation with a specialist, immediately that specialist would consult with other specialists right after the conversation with my daughter to sort of get a better idea of how things could work across the spectrum instead of just this silo idea of disciplines. And he was the only one who had any interest in the alternative medicines that I had pursued when initially after 9 years of treatment and, you know, Children's Hospital trying to diagnose her, we were unsuccessful. So, you know, hats off to the NIH and the funding that they're now giving. So that's all I really have to say.
Nicole, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's a great story. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important because we try to put our ego behind the door when we enter our offices. And none of us knows everything. Again, remember, we call integrative medicine, but I wouldn't know what to do with some of the stuff that John does. And he probably knows everything about what I do. Or the same thing with Sean in mental health. So, but the point is the collaboration, being open. And, you know, I'm an electrophysiologist. I do procedures all day. And at the same time, when I see a patient and I can recommend diet, I never hesitate. If I can recommend a supplement, I never hesitate. Just being open to it. Interestingly enough, there was just a publication, a research study came out recently that people who have fainting and faint often, doing yoga actually prevents them, reduces their fainting episodes. So, I mean, the cheapest thing you can imagine, you can just get a yoga tape from your public library and, you know, practice it. But so if you're just open to that, there is no harm in prescribing that to your patients. There's certainly some health benefits in general. So right. I think being open and collaborative is very important.
And none of us are here telling that we have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, I think if medicines are needed, by all means, take the medicines and then work through an integrative approach to, again, go back upstream and address things like inflammation. That may be affecting all kinds of things downstream. So, you know, that's where the collaboration between conventional and integrated medicine works best. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Well, John, Sean, and Moran, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Mark.
Center for Integrative Health and Wellness at the University of Cincinnati Academic Health Center, Dr. Sean Cotton, UC College of Medicine Electrophysiology Section Director and Professor, Dr. Moran Attari, and Radiation Oncologist and UC College of Medicine Visiting Professor, Dr. John Sacco.